we in America should be grateful to God for the blessings he's given us.
Don't let anyone tell you that America's best days are behind her.
We have got to fight for this nation, because I believe with all my heart this nation is in fact one nation under God.
Well, the indices all down over 2%. As a matter of fact, the Nasdaq's down, getting close to 3%. Technology stocks getting clobbered, obviously, with what is going on in trade. And the Dow's down 2%. The S&P down 2%. So pretty significant moves on the downward side. You know what I say? When I see something down 1%, I say that's a significant move for one day. So here we are down 2%. We'll see if it holds. I don't expect it's going to change a whole lot by the end of the trading day, other than maybe get worse. So we're watching a dramatic move downward. Look, we've had moves a lot more dramatic than this. We've had weeks a lot more dramatic than this. So we'll see where it goes. It is the reason this is going down is why it's concerning. Normally, I'd be ignoring this. I probably would have been loading up my buy list at this point. This is different. It's very different because we're talking about, as any war might be, could we be going from trade war to currency war? And that is a big concern. That's a big concern around the globe. This has the potential of taking the Eurozone. We've got Germany, Italy. Well, I would say Italy's already in recession, not technically, but there. But this is going to take, could this take some of these other countries and this be pretty much it for them, putting them, plunging them into a recession a little bit sooner, as you know, this is going to start weighing on them. This is going to hurt our commodities market in a big way. Craig Hauger coming up in this segment. President Trump is getting ready to speak. We'll try to bring you some of that live. He's getting ready to speak on in reference to the shootings, and I'm sure there will be some other things that will get mentioned. I don't know if he's going to take questions. I don't know what kind of environment he is in with this speech, but if it's in an environment and people start yelling out questions, he'll probably start to answer some of those. We may get some sound bites from that to play for you a little bit later, but we'll see what happens with that. We'll watch it closely. So as soon as it begins to air, we hear something that is something that we need to be talking about, we'll do that. China's central bank denies it's devaluating the country's currency under tariffs. Of course. I mean, it's almost funny that we would report that, to be honest with you. They've been denying this for 15 years. They will always deny it. This is when I get a little bit more aggravated than normal over the IMF. And I don't know, some of you will remember, because I know some of you had heard me over the years complaining about the IMF allowing yuan to be one of the reserve currencies. And I said in a very cynical way that there's something to this because they don't meet any qualifications of a reserve currency. And yet the IMF let them in, and I refuse to believe that there wasn't something going on. The pressure, either it was political pressure or it was something worse that was influencing the IMF. So I don't know. We'll see. But you know, this is a good reason they are manipulating their currency. A lot of the currency drop that we're seeing yesterday or on Monday in Asia, and all the Asian markets, by the way, closed very much in negative territory today. But a lot of it was a natural devaluation. So you had people running out of equities. We're seeing capital leave the market to the extent in which it can leave. It's a communist regime. The People's Bank of China is the People's Bank of China. It is a communist-owned bank. They own it. They control it. They call the shots on it. So interesting that we hang on to this like it's the Federal Reserve. President Trump this morning on tweets, it was about 8:30 this morning, maybe about 8 o'clock, putting tweets out pressuring our Federal Reserve to cut more. What is going on right now with markets? I got news for you. Another quarter of 1%, a half of 1% is not going to help. And I don't want it to help. Let the markets fall where they will fall. Let's not join the rest of the world in trashing our dollar. Let's keep it where it is. Let's keep it strong. Let's keep money flows from around the world coming here to America. Let's leave it alone and let the Federal Reserve do their job. To the extent of which they think it ought to be cut, they will cut. I think the president, I don't think the Federal Reserve ought to be getting involved in negotiating trade. I think that's the president's job. Let them set monetary policy by keeping some powder dry. We need some ammunition, and that's critically important at the same time. It's going to be a very, very interesting week. Again, we'll watch this closely. We've got our ag report coming up. I want to mention to you that next week we're starting a series during the first hour that is going to be on some money management kinds of things that you need to know. In the second hour next week, we will be talking about the comparison of socialism to capitalism. That's going to be very interesting. I don't want you to miss that. Here comes Craig Haggart with our ag report. We'll be right back right after Craig.
This is Craig Haggart with your Financial Issues Ag Update. The corn futures rallied on Friday, erasing most of Thursday's bearish reaction to President Trump's announcement of a 10% tariff increase and another $300 billion of Chinese imports. Spot futures were up 6¾ cents for today, but still lost 15 cents for the week. Needless to say, farmer selling is minimal, with most farmers waiting for the August 12th USDA report to see if anything in that report that could turn this market back around in their favor. As I record this, the downside pressure is continuing, with the overnight spot corn futures trading 6 cents lower. Bean futures closed 2 to 3 cents higher as they were pulled higher by corn futures as trade negotiations with China seem to be at a standoff. Soybean ratings are expected to be unchanged to down 2% when they come out this afternoon. The June soybean crush was 157.6 million bushels, which was 1.7 million bushels below the average trade estimate and down 11.9 million bushels from the May report. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures are trading down 6 cents as I record this. Wheat futures saw a little technical rebound on Friday after a heavy sell-off on Thursday. Friday saw South Korea buying 85,000 metric tons of milling wheat for October shipment from the U.S. and EU. In the overnight trade, we're seeing some pressure on this market again, with Chicago down 9 cents, Kansas City is 6 cents lower, and Minneapolis is down a penny. Cotton futures got absolutely decimated on Friday. December futures dropped 285 points to close at 59.42 and set another new life of contract low. It appears as if the trade war with China deserves the credit for the beating the cotton took last week. In the overnight trade, that's continuing, with spot futures trading down an additional 180 points as I record this. Livestock futures were lower straight across the board on Friday. October live cattle futures finished the session 90 cents lower, while the September feeder cattle futures were $3.30 lower. Lean hogs had another tough outing, with October futures down $1.75. Class 3 milk futures had a stronger outing on Friday, with September futures up 11 points as they settled at $17.79. In the overnight trade, they're trading unchanged. In the cash markets, choice beef boxes were 49 cents higher to close at $214.73, while selects were up $1.29 for the day as they closed at $190.63. In hogs, the pork carcass values finished $1.15 lower as they settled at $86.64 per hundredweight. This has been Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. We'll be right back with more financial issues after this.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Ciri. It's great to be here. We do want to get to your calls, 610-363-1110. If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do that, 610-363-1110. And we'll take your calls. Right now, the president is speaking. He's basically just talking about some legislation that he is contemplating enacting. I suspect, looks like he's in the press room. I can't quite, no, he's, it looks like he's in the White House. There's probably no reporters there, so I don't know if we'll be fielding questions or not. He has already earlier this morning accused China of manipulating their currency. That would be because China's beginning to manipulate their currency. They're going to continue to do that. So here's the question that I think we don't know and is another wild card in all of this. You know, this could go either way. The Trump could, president could say, this is could embolden the president. And it could embolden the president to say, hey, you know what? This whole tariff, this strategy, this pressure that we're putting on China is obviously working. They're in desperate need to trash their currency, to manipulate their currency. By the way, this manipulation in the long run is not good for China in the long run, but nonetheless, it is empowering them to do that. And it's indicating that they are a lot worse off than they have said they are, although I think we already knew that. So this might say to the president, you know what, why stop here? Let's continue to go down this road and try to convince them. I just think China is at a place where they're going to dig their heels in. You got to remember, this is a very, very much a dictatorship, communist rule that could care less about human rights. They're not worried about human rights. They're not worried about the health and well-being of their citizens. They don't care about that. I know that sounds cold. It almost sounds impossible. How could that be? Well, I know what it sounds like. I'm just telling you what it is. We'll never see pictures because you can't get in to certain parts of China. It's impossible to get in, particularly with a camera. So we don't know, but we do know that there are people dying from people that we hear that are coming here, defecting here, or whatever the situation might be. But it is a difficult situation, and it's only going to get worse. That is not going to put pressure. What might happen is Hong Kong becoming contagion to China, and we could start seeing the young people of China begin to unrest. And the last thing China needs is another Tiananmen Square. And I don't, you know, they've got to be on edge with how they're dealing with Hong Kong because they can't afford that kind of situation again. So we'll watch and we'll see. But right now, this is starting to become more about currency than it is everything else. And that should be a concern to global markets. Anyway, let me go to Deanna. Deanna calling us from Texas. Hi, Deanna.
Hi, how are you today?
Good.
I am so concerned and interested in finding out financially and as a unit of those who follow Jesus Christ and those who believe in God and those who stand for their country and this wonderful country of the United States, what is it that we should do as the people, to come together as one and interject our interests and desires to our president, of what you were speaking about earlier, in regards to the desire for him to become closer and allies, with, you know, Germany and, some of the European countries, as well as some of the countries within Japan and, you know, portions of Japan and Vietnam and stuff like that. My biggest concern is obviously it's affecting our financial global market everywhere. Yeah. But moreover, all of the countries that are in Europe are falling prey to that union of one world and division from what the United States is doing. And my concern is what are we doing as people, and where can we get involved?
Well, it's not what we've got to understand that one of the most powerful things, I believe, one of the most, well, when I say powerful things, I mean, one of the most powerful things that we have that we can do, Deanna, is we've got to come together as a church body, and we've got to encourage our pastors. See, we don't have the same church that we had many, many years ago, where the church's job, the pastors, held a certain place of prominence and influence in the community in which they had their church. That we have now become, in so many areas, a church that is being influenced by the world. And I was at a church on Sunday, my church, that didn't say a word about anything. I mean, so look, that's the problem. See, until the church, until pastors step up to the plate, until the people step up to accountability for their pastor, to hold that pastor accountable, that he has a biblical responsibility. The church is there so that we might influence the world, not so the world might influence the church. We have got to preach the doctrine that permeates the pews, and the pews permeate our society, and things begin to change. So if you're talking about what we can do as people of God, as Christians, that's where it starts. We can do a lot of individual things, but for us to have unity, we need to have some unity in the churches. And we've got one church that won't talk to another church down the road because they all have their own agenda.
We have to come together as the bride. I mean, I'm seeing exactly what you're saying. I mean, I have Bible study almost every Saturday with my sister and my brother-in-law, because in the church, they are still blind, and they are still not addressing the true issues of what, you know, we, the people, in our spirit and our minds, not living in the spirit, are allowing.
Well, I think you just hit the nail on the head. It's what we are allowing. Listen, it's up to us. We want to hold our legislators accountable. Do we hold our pastor accountable? I wonder, I mean, do we do that? Are we as a congregation, or are we as a people coming to hold? And the problem is there's going to be half the congregation or more that says, oh, no, we don't want to get involved in that. And we want to continue to salt. That's what we want to do. We're going to be salt and light to salt and light. And we can rub salt all we want on top of salt, and we're not going to have any healing value, any purification value to that. And we need to willingly be salt and light to the community. And I go back, I've said this so many times, there are some churches, I know one in particular in Texas, there are some churches that truly are about influencing the community. And for the sake of Christ, for the sake of God, for the things that this country was built upon, and there's a whole lot.
Please give me the name of that church.
Well, it's in San Antonio. It's a big church in San Antonio. But you can find it. I don't want to put the name of it out there. They might not appreciate it. But I just say that it is really important that we have pastors that stand up for the truth unwaveringly, not under a fear that somebody's going to walk out. I walked out of a church because on Veterans Day, they didn't even acknowledge Veterans Day and didn't even acknowledge men and women that have died for this country. I don't understand why we get so caught up in separation that we are separate. We're not willing to separate light and darkness. And I think that's sad. I got to run, but thank you, Deanna. I appreciate your call. It's so important. But we have work to do inside the church, and we got to be about that business. Anyway, 610-363-1110. If you want to queue your car up, you're welcome to do that. Watching indices get a little bit better right now, but everything's very, very negative, and it looks like it's going to stay that way. We'll see what happens. Everything's going to be about China and trade and all that kinds of thing. You know, we've got this argument right now about gun control. We have this argument against trade. We have this argument about lowering rates and fighting fire with fire. In other words, let's manipulate our currency since China's manipulating their currency. Let's devalue our currency since China's devaluing their currency. I'm sorry, I've never been in that camp. I can't get myself in that camp because I don't think we need to be. We have resiliency. We are not, and here's the problem with so many that are in that camp. They compare the economy of America to the economy of China, to the economy of Japan, to other economies that are built upon exports, that are built upon manufacturing and exports. We are not. We are built upon consumer spending. And if we're, as long as we stay a consumer spending economy, we need to have a strong dollar that we are using for our spending. And we need to encourage other countries to come to the U.S. dollar. What is going to prevent China from selling $1 trillion worth of our debt if our debt doesn't have any more value than their debt has? Why do they need to have our debt? Why does Germany need to be buying our debt? Why does Japan need to be buying our debt? Why do they need to be doing that if our dollar is as weak as their dollar? It is what has separated us for years and years from other economies. And I don't think that we need to go down their road. They need to go down our road. And we need to stand pat on our dollar and or on our economy. And let's not get into a currency war, and let's not instigate currency wars. That's not going to be good for global economies, and inevitably is not going to be good for the American economy. All right, we're coming up on break. Phone lines are open, 610-363-1110. 610-363-1110. Financial Issues, I'm Dan Celia. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It's great to be here. We've got phone lines open, 610-363-1110. 610-363-1110 if you want to queue your call up. Let me just remind all of you, this is one of those times when we see the market, see what's going on. It's one of those times that always comes to my mind about charitable gift annuities and that notion that we need to have permanent income. And, you know, we could say all we want, but right now there are a lot of people thinking about what's happening to my income. If you're in one of our income portfolios, you're fine. Don't even worry about it. It's not a big deal because remember, we don't care if things go down. We just care about our income. Your income's not going to change. In some incidents, it might get better as a result of this. So we'll wait and see. But nonetheless, if you're an income portfolio and you're an income investor, you don't matter. Maybe you don't want to be in the markets. You don't want any exposure to the markets because even though you're in an income portfolio, you may see the value going down and you don't like that and you don't want to do that and you don't want to wait for it to come up while you collect your income. You don't want to see losses on your balance sheet. Maybe you just don't want to deal with, maybe you've had bad experiences with the market, but you need income. Look, the only thing you can do is a charitable gift annuity if you want to guarantee permanent income and do the Lord's work and not be involved in situations that are insurance company led kinds of things. So this is the time to be calling and talking to the AFA Foundation. You need to do that. So we'll see, but it's certainly the time that you need to be looking at that. And we'll see what happens. We don't know where this is going to go, if it's all temporary or it's going to start to see some sort of spiral downward that stays in somewhat of a consistent, on a consistent basis. So we'll see. Anyway, that's where we are right now. We'll see what's going on. Right now, we are watching the precious metals, and precious metals are benefiting, obviously, from devaluation of currency, as it always does, and what is going on in the markets right now. I don't think it's going to hold too much longer unless we see another cut. But right now, if you're in gold or silver, you get a little bit of a lift. But it may be short-lived, as we saw the last lift in gold. So just be careful of that. But right now, the gold salesmen are going nuts, and you're going to see more gold commercials on TV this week than you've seen in the last couple of years total. So they're all dusting off all their commercials to get out there. So anyway. Phone lines are open, 610-363-1110, 610-363-1110. Let me go to David. David's calling us from Indiana. Hey, David.
Hey, you just said what I was calling about. I'm a WCCM, an old white Christian conservative male. I'm very proud of it. Happened to listen to other radio broadcasts way back when. Moved all of my 401k IRAs into gold and silver in 2007. Saw dramatic, crazy increases through 11 and 12, and then, you know, dive back down, and just been taking the beating by people who know that that's where I put my money for a lot of years, and just a newcomer to your radio show. And because I'm a Christian, I don't believe in the typical Wall Street rhetoric, so just trying to get your opinion
about precious metals.
Yeah.
So I think a little bit of precious metals for your portfolio is an okay thing. I think it's a nightmare if you're in it with your IRA account or something like that, because it doesn't make any dividends. It doesn't pay any yield. To take money out, you got to pay sales commissions. If you don't own it all in physical, it's even a bigger issue. I own a little bit of silver. I used to own some gold. I own a little bit of silver. I sold half my silver 2013 at $44 an ounce. Oftentimes, what we see with gold investors, you may be one of those, but we that thinks like this. But every time I talk to gold investors, they talk about, yeah, the market's going to go up and up, and then they talk about the times that it did. But the key is, did you get out? Did you make a profit from it? Did you make a lot of money on that? Or are you just holding it? Because most gold and silver investors hold it because of the rhetoric. You think the rhetoric's bad on Wall Street. The gold rhetoric and precious metals rhetoric is far worse than anything on Wall Street. But nonetheless, if you listen to that, then everybody thinks, oh, no, I'm not selling. This is the big one. No, I'm not selling this. Yeah, but it's up to, you know, $30 an ounce. That's okay. It's going to keep going. This is a big one. Well, it's at $44 an ounce on silver. This is 2013. Yeah, but it's going to go well over its all-time high. So gold, the silver salesman, we're talking about that, and it's going to go up past 60 and all that. It did get close, but it came screaming back down to $11 in record time. And so many people didn't make anything off it. So look, if you're an investor, I don't have a problem with it. Investors will at some point in time get out and take some money, and make some money and take some profits, even though it's costing them a lot of money to get out. But nonetheless, they're still getting out and making money. But if you're keeping it to wait for the big bounce, that $8,000 an ounce, then chances are you're going to have a lot of money not working for you. In other words, not paying dividends, not being able to get to inexpensively if you need it, just a lot of money sitting there. People say the fundamentals of gold look good. Gold doesn't have any fundamentals. It's a speculative commodity. The fundamentals are it's shiny, it's pretty, it's heavy. I mean, they don't have any fundamentals. So it's a speculative commodity. If you're playing it for inflation, you'd be far better off playing oil for inflation than you would oil gold. So in my opinion, I think that's the real hedge against inflation. Gold is up right now as we speak. 1.9%. Oil is up 2.36%. I mean, if you're going to play it for inflation, I think oil is a great hedge against inflation. I don't have, like I said, I own some of it. I don't have any cost basis in silver right now because I sold half of my position at very high profits. But so I'll keep it. I'll probably keep it for an indefinite period of time. But it's not even, you know, it's a very, very, very small percentage of what I have. So I'm for all sectors of the market. Speculative commodities, commodities in general, ag commodities, oil commodities, energy commodities, precious metals, industrial metals. I think that's all good for diversification, as long as you own some companies also that are very good for diversification. It's the diversified portfolio that is going to weather all storms very well for a long period of time and be able to have availability of taking profits or receiving dividends. That's just my opinion. It's counter to what everybody else thinks, but it's been my opinion for 35 years, and I guess I'm going to stick to it.
Well, there's no reason not to. You've been evidently been successful, and you've got a lot of people listening, so it's just your mind is strictly wealth preservation. You know, my income level is satisfactory, so it was just strictly trying to protect what I worked 50 years for, and that was, you know, my whole idea behind it. And
yeah,
I'm still up double.
Yeah.
And in 11, I was up triple. So it's just, and I don't have it through. I've got, you know, you should probably know is 408M3 is a tax code that allows you to, take possession. So
yeah. Yeah, and that's
okay,
the best way.
Thank you for your time.
That's the best way to own it. Best way to own it. All right, thank you. I appreciate your call. Let me go to Bob. Bob's calling us from Arkansas. Hey, Bob.
Hey, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
I'd like to. I'm fixing to retire here in a couple of months, and I was wondering about instead of start drawing from my Social Security is 63 and a half.
Uh-huh.
Is just live off our investment income until. You know, I'm 67 or 70, you know, however that will work out. If you think that's would be a better way to have
well,
more
it,
income.
It depends on how much you're going to deplete your investment income, because your investment income, you can't ever replenish. It's going to be gone forever. So since you're not working, so you're out of your accumulation years, where you're not accumulating anymore from, you know, from pay and salary from working. So you're out of that accumulation phase. And you have to remember, when you get out of that accumulation phase and you start using what you have accumulated, which is what it's there for, so it's fine, but you're not going to replace it. And it's very, very hard to make gains in portfolios when you're drawing money out. And generally, the real kiss of death to somebody's portfolio is just that. When they start drawing money and they're drawing some money out that is at the very same time that we have a year or a period of time where there's a dramatic decrease in the markets, they'll never regain that. They'll hurt their entire portfolio and they'll never regain it. You're never going to pick that up because you end up being forced to sell certain things to take your withdrawal. So it's really a tough call. Now, if you're only drawing a tiny bit out of your investments, you know, what it's producing in income, then that's fine and you'll be fine. All I can say to you is hold out as long as you possibly can to receive a much greater income out of Social Security, because ultimately you're going to need that income. Hold out as long as you can and try not to draw out more than you're earning, and you'll always be fine. Thanks,
okay.
Bob.
Yeah.
If you got another question, I'll put you on hold, and we'll get you when we get back. We'll be right back after this.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Six ten three six three 1110. There are phone lines. If you want to cue your call up, now would be a good time to do it. Our lines are open. We'll get right to your call. We're going to stay with calls right now. I know I keep beating on the markets, but we got to keep watching it. Things are just continuing to deteriorate. We're looking at the Dow down 2.25%. So considerable drop. The upside, I guess, if there is an upside, is we're starting to see, we will start to see at the end of this day, valuations start to come into line, obviously, with this drop, if it holds, if it lasts. I mean, if it doesn't come shooting back up again. But by all accounts, it shouldn't, based on what we are seeing going on in the global markets and global economies and what precipitated this fall. The things that precipitated this drop are not transitory. As a matter of fact, they have a little opportunity to be transitory. They have much more opportunity to be greater and wider than what it would appear. We are looking at real fundamental reasons for the markets to fall, be it globally, yes, but nonetheless, they are fundamental reasons for us to continue to see this drop. Here's the worst part of all of it. So when we see these kinds of days, when we have borderline sentiment from businesses that is already turning negative, this is probably, if this lasts for 3 days straight, this is going to be the final nail in the negativity coffin that is going to continue to spiral downward. That will lead, in a matter of weeks, that will lead to a spiral downward of consumer confidence. Then we will start to see other areas of the market begin to drop. And that's really a problem. And these things are not transitory. The rhetoric, the ramping up of stress and tensions with China is not appearing as though it is going to go away anytime soon. It appears as though, for all practical purposes, it is here to stay for a prolonged period of time. That is going to impact the markets, impact our portfolios. Could there be, at the end of this week, at the end of next week, at the end of the week after, in the very near future, some wonderful opportunities to buy and pad our portfolios? Oh, yes, there certainly could be, and we will take advantage of that for long-term investing. But nonetheless, right now, there is a lot of negativity. Volume seems to be relatively higher than it normally is on a day in the first, hour and a half of trading, seems to be very, very high, which likely will mean volume will stay high all day long. Higher volume means conviction. We see the Dow drop below 2,600. 26,000, so it's down below 26,000. It's 25,896 right now. So the Dow continues to drop. We've dropped over 600 points plus, and down 588 right now. So we're going to continue to watch that. The S&P is not doing any better. The volatility index is high. We are seeing one handles on the 2-year and the 10-year, one handles on yield. That is, significant. That is adding to the worries, the problems, the troubles and struggles of the markets when we see yields on a 2-year bond and on a 10-year bond with a one handle. And so we've got two of them there. The 30-year bonds, not a whole lot better. Not that anybody would consider investing in that, I don't think, but nonetheless, that's what we're looking at right now. And I'm trying to see as I'm looking at this, seeing this come across the ticker on the yields, and I'm not seeing it. I'll see if I can maybe get it. See if I can get it up here so we can get a look at where the yield is right now. Here you go. So the 10-year, yeah, 173 on the 10-year. 173 on the 10-year. The 2-year is at 1.5. 1.5. 5-year, 1.5. So no difference between the 2-year and the 5-year right now. I mean, just tiny, tiny fractional differences. So yields are dropping dramatically. That means money is flowing in dramatically into bonds. This is a flight to safety. The exodus out of equities is continuing. This is because most traders are very short-term minded. Most traders are, even some of the institutional side, are very short-time traders. I don't know if you remember. You should. Some of you will. I know at least, I'm going to say a handful of people that I heard from that did this very thing. But back in June, at the end of June, I said, if you did nothing else but sold all your positions and went to zero, you would be up considerably for the year at the end of this year. Think about it. You would have locked in all of your gains. And January 1st, you can think about starting over again. And, you know, I remember doing that in 2013. That was a bad thing to do then. It might have been a good thing to do this year. But nonetheless, that's where we are. We'll see if these yields. So what we have is we have one problem that creates another problem that creates another problem. And all of a sudden, everything starts to exacerbate the other and things continue to spiral downward. And that's what we're looking at right now as we see what's going on in the markets. All the big technology stocks, the big five, Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Alphabet, all down considerably. Some are down 3%, 4%. So that we're seeing the NASDAQ really getting hit particularly hard. The NASDAQ's down almost 3% right now. So we'll see. We'll see how this continues to change. But the yield on the bond is what we're not seeing necessarily threats of a major inversion. The 10-year at 1.7, the 2-year at 1.5, but it's sure as close. And no telling what's going to happen to that as people continue to sell equities. And that's the only place they can run. Oil is down too, by the way. We're looking at crude oil at 54.71 right now. 54.71, that's down 1.7%. I'm sorry. Nat gas down 1.5%. And all the ag commodities are down right now. Copper is down 1.2%. Copper has been getting clobbered. If we paid attention to Dr. Copper, which is the best predictor of the markets globally, we would have gotten out a long time ago because it has been struggling for a long, very long time. But everybody has been thinking it's transitory because of there's going to be a trade deal with China. So this is what we see right now. So very, very interesting as we watch these events unfold. This is why permanent income becomes more and more important as we look at charitable gift annuities. It's going to be good for the charitable gift market. I don't think we'll ever see more inflows into charitable gift annuities like we saw in 2008, but it's very, very possible that this could be the start of those inflows. Because look, when it's all said and done, it doesn't matter even if it recovers. People don't want to go through this volatility. I don't have a problem going through it. I don't have a problem with you going through it. You're long-term investors, and you need to hang in there and keep going through this and wait for the perfect opportunity for buying, and we will see that. Remember, I said on my own portfolios, not my personal portfolio, the portfolios I use for my institutional money, my short portfolio was up 25%. Before the markets open, it's down to 22% right now. And we're looking at our long portfolio that's a bigger position is down to 14%. That was at, I forget what it was, but it was 16, I think. So anyway, now that larger cash position is starting to look pretty good there. And the larger cash position in your portfolio that so many of you have now is starting to look pretty good right now, and you're glad you have it. Those CDs, any of those CDs you have are really looking good right now. They're looking amazing as we look at CDs. Anyway, we'll continue to watch this, try to stay on top of this very closely. Meanwhile, the Council for Economic Advisors tweeted out just a little while ago that the unemployment rate stays at the lowest rate in nearly 50 years, and it's holding steady at 3.7%. And by the way, this makes the 17th, July makes the 17th month, consecutive month, that we have seen unemployment down below 4%, 17th consecutive month. Now, tomorrow we get out job openings. The job openings last look, and this is for the month of July. So this week, obviously not going to be counted in here, but I got to believe that some of these job openings already next month, this month, August job openings report is going to be very interesting to see how it's changed. So we may get a July job openings number that looks like 2 million, somewhere in that neighborhood, from down from 2.2 million job openings. So, I'm sorry, 7.2, I'm sorry. So it's very interesting. We'll watch that very, very closely. Next month, when we get August number out, we'll see how, if that goes under 7 million. I suspect it will, just because of this week alone, people are be yanking those openings off their website. All right, you're listening to Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. If you got to leave us, have a great day. God bless. We'll be back. More financial.